Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, we have a truly inspiring guest joining us, Lucia Dami. Lucia is an artist, deck creator, and has been a tarot and oracle card reader for the past 10 years. Her work beautifully explores the healing and transformative power of the inner landscapes, especially in relation to feminine energy and empowerment. With a deep connection to the mystical and unseen, Lucia's artwork and divination practices open portals into the symbolic, intuitive, and archetypal realms. I always have trouble with archetypal. Today we've been talking about we'll be talking about feminine archetypes, intuition, healing through symbolism, and how reconnecting with the feminine can support transformation, personal growth, and her new deck of oracle cards, which I have, The Light in the Dark. So stay with us. This is going to be a beautiful and powerful conversation. Welcome to the show, Lucia.
Hi, Janine. Thank you so much for having me.
That's fine. It was really funny. On Saturday afternoon, I wasn't expecting any mail. And the postman's standing there with a parcel. And I was like, oh, okay, and what's this then? And I opened it and it was your deck of cards, which are really gorgeous. They're stunning. They are just lovely to look at, lovely to hold. So
thank you.
A great Easter present for me. So thank
you. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you so much.
So let's start at the very beginning. Tell us a little about your journey into becoming an artist and a deck creator.
Yes, well, where to begin? I've always been someone who draws, you know, even as a really young child. I was drawing and painting and illustrating. So from a very young age, I did think of myself as an artist. And I have memories growing up at school, maybe being about 6 or 7 and people saying, like, you can't be an artist when you're older because all artists are poor, you know, like there was a very... I mean, it's normal in our culture. We have a very strong narrative around these things. So, but nonetheless, I had grandparents who were artists and who were very supportive of nourishing my creativity, and my parents too. So I really grew up nourishing that aspect of me. And equally, I've always been very imaginative and had a big imagination and felt very connected to things that other people couldn't see. And it wasn't until my teenage years that I had quite a big and confusing spiritual awakening. And I didn't have anyone in my life at that time who could explain to me what was happening. So I kind of found all of my information online. I would go on Google and just type in the things that I was experiencing. And I found terms like synchronicity and past lives and all of these, you know, spiritual terms that really just made sense to me at that point, because I was so confused about what was happening.
So what sort of things happened? I mean, I understand because it happened to me, but for our listeners, give us some of them, the examples.
I think the biggest one is that I felt like there was something talking to me through the world around me. So I was experiencing so many synchronicities that I felt like I was going crazy. Coincidences that I really couldn't explain. And, you know, people say, well, it's normal. If you think about pink elephants, you know, you're going to see suddenly a pink elephant. It's all you're going to notice, all you're going to think about. But you really can't explain it when it goes beyond that. And it was just countless. And it was happening for months and months. And I thought I was mentally ill. Because I would Google it and people would say, well, this is a symptom of this and a symptom of that. And but I could feel that something was talking to me, I think, especially because I was in a really dark place emotionally and mentally, as I think a lot of teenagers do go through that phase. And it was very challenging. And these synchronicities, they felt hopeful and it felt like something was trying to pull me out of the darkness. And so I kind of refused to believe that there was something wrong with me. And I followed those signs and I ended up finding tarot around that time through a friend who I would confide in about my my crazy experiences. And they introduced me to tarot, and then it was like a I don't know, like a love at first sight, me and tarot. And I became completely obsessed. And from that point, I taught myself how to read cards. And that's, it's been 10 years that I've, or more actually, maybe, yeah, 11 years that I've been reading cards and finding solace in divination. And then, of course, being an artist, I felt very called to create my own decks. And that's only just happened in the last few years.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when you have that intuition or gift, we have to use it in a way. So for me, I go into people's houses and I can feng shui it. So your decks are your tools. Yes. It comes through the cards, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's a beautiful way of putting it, because you need something to channel that energy and that gift.
I know. Yeah. It is a hard one. When I was doing some research on the year, I was thinking that the symbolism and imagery that you choose, you use it for healing. So what does it come through in visions, or you just see the whole deck as you go along?
It's definitely a very intuitive process with both of the decks that I've created. I don't think I had a full kind of plan before I set out to making it. I definitely just followed the visions that I was getting. And the more that I began to channel what I was seeing, the more things began to develop. So, for example, with the tarot deck, the first thing I knew was that it would be black, white, and gold, and that it would be inspired by the stars and celestial Greek mythology. And I knew nothing else. And so I just started by drawing the Empress card, and everything else flowed from there. I didn't plan it out at all before beginning. And it was similar with the Oracle deck. I think with the Oracle, there was a little bit more thought that went into it beforehand, because I had a bit more clarity on what I wanted the theme and the energy to be that runs through this deck, which is the divine feminine, cyclical living, the phases. So that was a little bit more clear. But even then, I think I definitely, my process is definitely very intuitive and based on the visions that are coming through in the moment. Mm. Yeah.
It's interesting. So I pulled a card before I came on here because I just wanted to see. And it was Manifest, which is an interesting one for me, because my book, Manifest Your Way to Abundance, is coming out in May. But what would your ultimate thing if I just said I pulled Manifest?
Wow, that's amazing. I love that's so aligned. Well, Manifest is actually one of my favorite cards in the deck. The artwork on that card is the artwork on the box.
Yes,
it is. For me, that card is a deep reminder that you are constantly in a co-creation with the universe or with spirit, with the divine, in creating your reality. And you are the person who gets to decide your story. Even if there are certain things that happen out of our control, we still get to choose the narrative that we have around them. And so Manifest is a card that, yeah, reminds us of our deep connection to the unseen and the ways that the power that has over our life.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm absolutely into manifesting anyway, which was really weird when I picked it up and I was like, oh, okay, all right, then I did the deck a little shuffle and I was like, oh, okay, that's it. And I agree, you know. So in your card deck, does it give you the way how to use the deck?
Yes. Okay. So
does. A lot of people don't understand. They want, I speak to a lot of people, they want an oracle deck or they want a tarot deck, but they don't go out and buy them. And I'm saying this is a beautiful deck. It is really beautiful. So what would you say to someone who's never bought a deck before but really wants to? So maybe they're a bit nervous or...
Well, I would say just go and get one and start pulling cards and understand that the thing that's stopping you is your self-doubt. That's really the only obstacle between you and engaging with these tools and empowering yourself through these tools. And you just need to trust yourself a little bit more, because you have the ability to read cards, you know, and even if you don't, for example, with tarot, even if you don't know the meanings off by heart, there is a booklet there to help you. And with time, you will create a much more seamless conversation with the divine through the cards, even if at first it feels a bit, clunky, that's the word, because you're kind of looking at the cards, you're like, I have no idea what these mean, and then you're going to the booklet and having to refer to it. But that's how I taught myself. Yeah. I mean, I didn't study in some official course to learn tarot. I just spent hours and hours and hours pulling cards, reading the booklet, and listening to my inner voice and listening to what would show up, then referring my own experiences to the meanings of the booklet. I think with any deck, whether it's Oracle or Tarot, something that can really help you to read is to read the booklet, but then also think of something in your own life that you can relate this energy to, so that next time you pull that card, you have a much quicker understanding. You're like, I do understand that card. You don't have to memorize each word of the booklet to be able to understand the cards. The moment you understand them on an energetic level, through your own experiences and memories and emotions and thoughts, you open up the door to a gift that you already have.
I love that. I just love that. I love what you're saying there. So we're just going to stop for our sponsors for a minute. So we'll be back right after the break and we'll listen and talk more with Lucien.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. Right. Your work centers around women and feminine empowerment. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes. When I was about 19, I had an ovarian cyst and it was 14 centimeters big.
Wow.
And I didn't know that it was there until I had some really big symptoms, let's say, you know, big alarm bells going off. And I brought myself to the doctor and they did an ultrasound and they said, yeah, you've got an ovarian cyst and it's urgent. You have to get surgery immediately. And I remember being so frightened and so confused at how I had missed something like that and how I had been so disconnected from my body and so disconnected from specifically my body as a woman. You know, why did I never pay attention to this part of my body? Why did I never pay attention to my femininity on a physical level and take care of myself properly? So I decided to do a lot of research online around, you know, ovarian cysts and PCOS and all these things. And I discovered that Chinese medicine could be very helpful for feminine health and hormonal balancing. So I kind of resisted the doctors telling me to urgently get surgery. I did a month of acupuncture and a Chinese medicine kind of diet that I was given. And it was amazing. I mean, I remember feeling so cleansed and so suddenly awake during that time. I think I really needed that slap in the face, you know, those alarm bells, that big crisis to happen for me to wake up to something that was very important around who I am and being here and being a human and not just some kind of soul floating around receiving visions and drawing. You know, I also have a body and I just so happen to have the body of a woman. So let's learn about this. And I did end up getting surgery because while the Chinese medicine helped, it didn't remove the cyst completely. But at that point, I felt so at peace with the lesson that I had learned that the surgery didn't feel like it was a big deal. Yeah. So the surgery went amazing. It couldn't have gone better. And then I never had those issues again, but it was a big part of my awakening to femininity and to working with what I now have a word for, which is the divine feminine. At that time, I didn't have a term for it, but I began to draw myself in different forms. So I sort of began to deify myself in illustrations, draw myself as goddesses in different poses in ways that felt empowering and healing.
Yeah.
And I would share these on social media. And I began to have more and more women write to me and say that they felt like I was drawing them. And I thought that that was so interesting at that time, because I was going deep inside of myself to alchemize something that I was trying to heal. And in the process, I was helping other women to feel seen for something that they had trouble expressing too. So that was really the beginning of my work with the divine feminine.
Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's pretty powerful. So you've explained which archetypes do women most often need. So you've talked about the body, right? But we also need to reconnect with the feminine soul, because we spend a lot of time now as women having to step into our male self for various reasons. And you've taken this and you have taken it so that people can reconnect with their feminine side. Now, for me, we can wear pink. Yeah, that's feminine. But for me, I drive fast cars that look gorgeous. But I think one of the biggest things is reconnecting to our intuition. Did you find when you were putting your oracle cards together and your decks and everything, is that something that you put into it? Did it come in?
Absolutely. Yes, it's a huge part of the intention in both of those decks, my oracle deck, the Light and the Dark Oracle, and the Elysian Tarot. A big intention is to just open the door for people to reconnect to their intuition. And especially as women, because as you said, we're kind of encouraged to take on a more masculine way of communicating with the world and having a relationship with our inner self. And most of the time, anyone who is sensitive will have to at some point shut that down a bit, because no matter if we grew up in an environment that encouraged us to be intuitive or not, at some point we're going to come face to face with a society that asks us to be more logical, more reasonable, more quiet, more this, more that, fit in a box. Just, you know, you can't be both very feminine and soft and also a highly achieving, ambitious boss. You know, you can't be both. So you've got to choose one.
Yeah.
And that's why I work with the feminine archetypes, the 12 feminine archetypes, because we are so much more expansive than that. And we can't put ourselves into a box. We can't shut down our intuition and say, okay, this is the identity that I have now and forever, and I can't get out. I won't go outside of this box or listen to any voice that tries to take me outside of this box. So the feminine archetypes really give us permission to remember that we can be the warrior and we can be the queen. We can also be the high priestess that needs to be in her cave praying and having her rituals. We can also be the maiden who is curious and wants to begin again and go on new adventures. We can also be the mother. We can also be the wild woman. You know, and it's just about remembering that we didn't come here to just be one version of ourselves.
I love that. I literally love that. That is so good. That is so cool. So we're just going to stay with us. We're just going to hand over to our sponsors. After the break, we'll explore with which works with clients through readings and workshops.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, Whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, tell us about your online readings. I'm interested.
Yes, so I do offer tarot readings and oracle readings online. I also have one of my favorite offerings is something called Sacred Avatar, where I give you a reading. An in-depth reading, and then I invite you to do an embodiment practice based on the energies that come up in the reading. So you'll do that on your own. You go and record yourself and take yourself portraits as you're moving through these different energies and taking on poses of your future higher self. And then from these images, I illustrate you in your deified form. And actually, over the last 6 years, I've done hundreds and hundreds of portraits for women in this way. And that's a big part of what inspired the Oracle deck. So all of the artworks in the Oracle deck are inspired by real women who stepped into their power through this process. So that's one thing that I offer. And I also just offer readings without the rest of it. I'm very passionate about reading.
So if I came for a reading, mm-hmm. you would do the tarot reading and then you would take my energy, just so I need to understand this properly, and then you would go away and I would go away and do what would I do?
So you would go into, I call it an embodiment ritual. So you would just move through different poses that make you feel empowered in your femininity. And we tailor it a bit to what comes up in the reading. So for example, you might be a woman who comes to me who's maybe a bit too goal-oriented and feels a bit burnt out, and what you're needing is to soften. So your embodiment practice might focus more on finding poses and movements in your body that help you to feel powerful in your softness. You might also be a woman who's coming to me who maybe is not grounded enough and needs more confidence in the material world, in which case you would then explore poses that really make you feel the power in that sense. And then you're recording yourself through this embodiment practice, and then you'll send me screenshots from the video that you take of yourself, wow. moments that you feel represent your future highest self, someone, the kind of version of you that you want to be more of. And from that image, I then illustrate, I create a digital illustration of you as a goddess, and you know, I add symbols and things like that.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that before.
Thank you.
I just love it. I think I might have to try that.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you after the show. So also you have workshops where you help people reconnect with themselves.
Yes, exactly. So I've just recently opened a Patreon, and within the Patreon, I have an online course of all the 12 feminine archetypes. And so I give workshops, in-depth classes on each archetype. I then also create meditations for you to meet your inner archetype. And there are creative prompts and journaling prompts to help you really integrate that work. Because I think when we're working with archetypes, we have to do it holistically. It's not just about learning it on a psychological level, even though that's very important to have an understanding and awareness of it, but then also kind of moving it to that intuitive level. So in the meditations, I really create a journey for you to meet how that archetype shows up for you personally, because it will be unique for everyone. And then from the meditation, then moving into the creative, whether that's journaling or drawing or whatever comes through for you, it just helps to kind of create this relationship with a deeper communication with your inner self and your outer self.
Now, this is just because I don't know a lot about it, but can you be more than one archetype?
Yes, we are all of the archetypes. So however, everyone will relate to a couple most strongly. So for example, I create most strongly to the artist and the high priestess. And that's where I'm able to merge my art practice with my spiritual practice. But then there are archetypes like the queen, let's say, who's very embodied, or the lover, who's also very grounded and embodied. Those ones I have to do a bit more work on to have a stronger relationship with. But the important thing is being able to remember that you have all of these, all of this potential and all of these different versions of you within you. So you don't have to be all of them all the time. It's just about knowing that you can shift from one to the other without feeling that you've lost something.
Wow. So just for our listeners, right? So someone's come to you, had their reading, had their video, you've created their thing. What transformations have you found for these people after they've come and had a reading with you?
Readings can open something that has been dormant in you. So even if you are not surprised by what comes up in a reading, let's say you already had a feeling of these things, but the reading really confirms it, what can happen is that suddenly you've been given a permission to fully live that truth. And that is really powerful, because in the deep acceptance of something that you may have been pushing aside or doubting, the universe kind of meets that energy with more confirmation of, you know, you committing to yourself. So it will open doors for you. You will find more synchronicities. I think a reading is really a doorway, a doorway that brings you deeper into connection with the unseen. And when you trust beyond the fear that might come up when you're moving into a space that feels mysterious and uncertain, when you have trust and when you have faith, the universe really responds to that.
I totally agree. I do Chinese astrology readings, and as soon as I start to speak about what's there, they're like, but I knew that already. But they don't listen. So
they don't, you know, exactly,
to themselves. And I think that's really, really powerful, that you can actually give these people the doorway to doing it. So for today, what message do you most want women listening today to hear?
Well, I think the message that has been really resonating recently, and it's something that's so present in the Light and the Dark Oracle, is that it's okay to move through different phases. We are cyclical beings. We are not meant to live the same thing every day, the 24-hour clock. We're not living according to the solar cycles. We're living according to the lunar cycles. And within the lunar cycles, there are periods of darkness, and there are gifts in that space. When you feel called to rest, you should rest, because within that rest, you will receive new ideas, new inspirations, new understandings and insights that are going to help you thrive when you begin to awaken into your light again. And so I think that's a message I really want to leave with people, and especially with women, is to honor every phase of your path and have a deeper trust in the fact that you're being guided. You're not alone.
Yeah. Do you know what I love about you just said? And this is where people get a little bit lost. We all have the dark. We all have a dark side to us. Yeah.
Yes.
We have a dark side to what happens around us. And people get stuck down in the darkness. And luckily, if you've got friends, they bring it out. But during those times, they literally, you can come out totally renewed if you're aware that that's what it is. And even though you have those days yourself and you're like, oh God, today I literally, if I have one of those days now, I say tomorrow's another day and it will not be the same. And I think when I was looking at your cards, going back to your cards again, and this is what I want to listen to hear. They are actually beautiful to hold. They're very easy to understand when you refer back to the book. But it feels like, and when you say you want to work with femininity, I think that they come through that way. I think you've done an amazing job with that. And, you know, I think that I never used to be into oracle cards because I didn't get them completely, yeah? Your talk today has taught me again that they are just a portal to help you understand what's going on around you. But the way you've explained it today, I think that people should realize that, well, is it the right word? Your intuition, you've just got to follow that. But you are the person that's built these cards. So they can feel it. Would that be the way you would say it?
Yes, I agree. Thank you for putting it like that. Because when people hear, you know, follow your intuition, it can feel really elusive, like, but what is intuition? How do I follow it? And that's where oracle cards are such an accessible way to begin opening that dialogue, because you have something outside of you giving you a narrative that you can follow. And with oracle, it's so accessible because you just need to pull one card. You can pull a few more, but really you just need to pull one card and you will receive insight. And more than that, you're carving out space for you to have a dialogue with your inner self. You're carving out space for stillness and silence. And the oracle deck is just the tool that helps you to deepen that.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely.
So where can our listeners find you and work with you?
I share most of my work on Instagram. My name on there is @lucia.dami. So that's LUCIA.DAMI. My website is linked on there. It's luciadami.com. And I'm very passionate about the Patreon space that I'm cultivating now, which is for more like a deeper sense of community where we can really connect over the feminine archetypes and have a deeper dialogue and exchange around those topics. I'll also in the future be teaching how to read tarot and oracle on that space too.
Well, I think you'll be brilliant at that.
Thank you.
You'll be absolutely brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Felicia, thanks so much for joining us today. Your work is deep and inspiring. I know that. And the cards are beautiful. So everybody go out and buy the Light in the Dark Oracle Guidebook and cards, and they're already on Amazon, so I know.
Yes, yes, exactly. And they're all linked on my website as well, all the decks. Okay. Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you so much, Janine. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.